The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
That's the free speech left.
This is not an argument. This is a religion.
When Professor Stanger was escorting Murray out, she was left with a concussion and whiplash.
Shouldn't we be able to agree on protecting free speech no matter who is speaking?
There will be resistance and it will not be peaceful. Resistance to violent hate speech is not another act of hate, it is an act of love.
Whoever told you you only had to hear what didn't upset you?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh boy, listen to that audio, right? That's some of the audio from a new documentary called No Safe Spaces. And it highlights the lack of logic from the left, something that I've been saying over and over again. You know, one of the things I want to address today, it's something I've been talking about a lot, because I believe words are so powerful. They can shape thought, they can shape minds, they can change hearts, right? And language has been co-opted by the left, by this culture of death. There's a real power in language. And the world elites know it. They know it. You know, from time immemorial, leaders have used language to compel war, right? For opposition to programs they don't like, to support programs they create. Think of the great orators. I think of Adolf Hitler even, how powerful it was. He was when he spoke. You know, some even believe that he was demonically inspired. Some say that something almost took over him when he was up there addressing the people. It captivated them. Words have a power to build somebody into a frenzy. So the fact that the elite understand the power of language, they also understand that, you know, if necessary, we just change the meaning of the language, right? Let's change it, change those words to make the masses do what we want. I look at Adolf Hitler, right? The mocking statement. And I think every human being should take this trip at some point in time. If you ever go to Auschwitz, in the entrance of that torture chamber, horrific death camp, right? Horror, that you can feel the horror and the evil that it just saturated the soil and the very wood of that place. The very entrance on the sign is the word in work makes you free. Hitler, it's a mocking statement. Work makes you free. These people were taken from their homes, forced to labor, tortured, experimented on, destroyed. Work makes you free. This goes back a long way. You see it, especially in our own day, right? The word gay. You know, it go back and look at an old dictionary. What did gay mean, right? Gay used to mean happy, joyful. We had a gay old time. It was wonderful, right? It was a gay Christmas. You know, it was cheerful. Then in what happened in the 1960s, 70s, it was co-opted. It was taken over by the homosexual revolutionaries who applied it to themselves. Now you take it for granted for what it means. Remember what happened with Governor DeSantis? I mean, the media, everybody went crazy when you know, suddenly he passed a parental rights bill. And they called it the Don't Say Gay Bill. Don't Say Gay Bill. It's like, it has nothing to do with gay. In that word gay, you can see how it's been co-opted and reused, and how the culture has embraced it. You know, you have to wonder if anyone under the age of 40 even knows what that definition meant, right? It, probably not what it originally meant. We also have the push towards changing pronouns, right? One other thing here. Just this whole issue of pronouns. Insisting everybody identify their pronouns so that you don't misgender someone else. And I want to be charitable to anybody who's confused, who's got gender identity issues. And my heart does go out to you. I want to be compassionate. But I think sometimes out of compassion, wanting to be politically correct, we go too far. I was having dinner on Divine Mercy Sunday with some friends, and one person told me that her daughter went to a university, and at this university, a very prestigious one, they had to identify their pronoun at the beginning of every class. You know, it's like, I do. And, you know, pronouns can change. So you have to address somebody by that. If she's a girl next to her started with one pronoun, decides to change it midway, that's how she's got to be identified. It has gotten wacky. Some of these institutions wanted people to write papers on why Black Lives Matter, you know, was such a great organization and why it should be supported. I mean, this is what's coming out of these institutions of higher learning. It's got pretty bad. Okay, so that's university level. We can take some of liberalism away from that. But when you go and kids in middle school are being investigated for allegedly maliciously misgendering people. Did you hear about that case in Wisconsin? It's horrible. The mother thought she was being punked. She thought it was somebody was playing a game on her. I think the kid's being charged with sexual abuse or assault or some wacky thing because he was using the wrong gender against somebody. And the line keeps getting moved, right? The thought keeps getting twisted. Then you got the abortion lobby, right? Twisting words so that being for abortion is being a good thing, right? Killing a child in the womb is a positive. You know, that's what the abortion, and they were clever. I have to applaud them. I've said this for a decade. I've said it for longer. It was a brilliant marketing tactic on the part of the culture of death to take over the word choice, to call themselves pro-choice, right? So pro-lifers, I guess, are anti-choice by default, right? So if you believe in life, if you're pro-life, you're anti-choice, and that's how they dub you. Anti-choice rallies in Washington, D.C., you know, anti-choice advocates, we're not anti-choice. I'm all about choice. I believe in choice. I believe you have a right to choice. I just don't believe you have the right to kill an innocent human being. I just don't think you have the right to do that. Nobody should be able to take a human life. It's up to God alone. I'm pro-choice, but I'm pro-life. You're pro-choice, but you're pro-death. Why don't we say it the way it is? But it's a very clever way to disguise what's really going on, because who wants to be against somebody's right to choose? Right? It was just brilliant. And of course, one final thing, the abortion lobby now wants to change that. And I think this is how twisted they've gotten. I think they've lost their way completely. The abortion lobby wants to change their own language. And Dr. Ann Hendershot's going to be joining me. I want to get her take on this coming up. You go from what I personally think is just a brilliant moniker, a brilliant slogan, being pro-choice. You've now associated that with being able to kill a child and being a good, right? You've taken an evil and you whitewash it with this word choice, and it sounds so great, you're pro-choice. Now they want to change it. It's not good enough to be pro-choice. Now we're not pro-choice anymore. We're pro-decision. Can somebody explain that one to me? Why? I mean, pro-decision? Is that more powerful than choice? We're pro-decision. We're not pro-choice. We're pro-decision. What does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? So instead of working to reduce abortions and to make it, you know, what they initially said it was going to be, it was going to be safe and legal and rare, right? As Hillary Clinton once declared, abortion should be safe, it should be legal, and it should be rare. Well, it's now safe, right? And it's now legal, and they want to change the word to accessible. So they want it to be safe, legal, and accessible. You see how these words are being co-opted? So instead of an unwanted pregnancy, it's now it's an unexpected pregnancy. Instead of having conscience clause and protection laws, it's now refusal of care or denial of care. You see how they twist this? I want to have a conscience clause. I want protection laws. If something happens to me in a critical moment, now it's denial of care, refusal of care. This is how language, I love words, and I think they're so powerful. The left, the culture of death, is so brilliant. They understand this. They know how to use it. So instead of one final one. Instead of talking back alley abortions, right, and displaying coat hangers like they used to, now it's something even worse. It's criminalizing healthcare. And look, it goes on and on and on and on. I talked about the Equality Act. We talked about all this, these misnomers that are out there. I'm joined today by Dr. Ann Hendershot. She's a professor of sociology and the director of the Veritas Center at Franciscan University of Steubenville, one of our nation's leading sociologists. And I always love having her on the program here because she has this ability to fuse Catholic social teaching with all these contemporary and cultural issues. And you're more than welcome to join us. We'd love to hear from you at 888-914-9149. Doctor, good to have you back. Welcome.
Oh, thanks. I'm happy to be here, Drew. You know, I've been writing about this for almost 20 years. I wrote a book called The Politics of Deviance, and I have a whole chapter on language. So I'm so glad I call it The Language of Deviance, because if you control the language, you can control perceptions. And the media is on the left, and they're on the side of the left. So the media helps these new definitions. Whoever wins control over the language will control how we regard things like suicide, abortion, transgender issues. Suicide is the one that I have a whole chapter called A Death of One's Own. I published this in 2002, so A Death of One's Own, because they talk about suicide as empowerment. The euthanasia society had to be transformed. That euthanasia wasn't a good word for them, so they changed it to the Society for the Right to Die. And that wasn't good enough. And then they changed it into choice in dying. So assisted suicide now is a dignified death and aid in dying. So this whole culture of death, they're so good, just like you said. They are very good at changing the language. And in any major cultural transition like we're experiencing right now, words change meaning as these new norms evolve and our old constraints lessen, because they'll lessen because we change the language. You change the words. I mean, I have a whole chapter on pedophilia, and that's not called pedophilia anymore. It's called intergenerational intimacy, because that's so much nicer.
So say that again. So, that's a new one for me. So pedophilia has been changed to intergenerational
intimacy. Yes, intergenerational intimacy. It just sounds like hanging out with your uncle, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know?
That is so bizarre. I mean, the lists go on and on. It's amazing. You know, here's the thing. I sit back, and I'm a cultural observer. I know you are. I mean, we see these trends in society. We see where the meter's moving, you know? And I don't know if the majority of people see through these language changes or not. I don't know if they get it or...
I think they do.
Do you really?
I do. I think they do. I think people are smarter than you think. But the media makes it hard for us because we are... I look at it as a marketplace, and we're being sold a new definition of whatever they're trying to help us redefine. So it begins really with a linguistic assault. Just like you said, the redefinition of these terms begins with this assault on us. But it's a nice assault. I mean, didn't Flannery O'Connor tell us tenderness leads to the gas chamber? That's a famous line from her.
Oh, yeah.
They use the kinder, gentler words. So we kind of want to buy those words. You know, I'll take those words because pedophilia is an ugly word. And it makes you think of horrible things. But intergenerational intimacy is tenderness. It's lovely. It's, you know, kids having these great friendships with older men. It's really just men. The pedophilia, a man with a young girl, is not being redefined or defined down. Pedophilia, an older man with a young boy, that's being redefined, and that's intergenerational intimacy. There's a whole book that's been published called Intergenerational Intimacy, and the contributors are, many of them have academic appointments at places like UCLA or Warwick over in England. Yeah, these are people that are mainstream people that are talking about intergenerational intimacy. One just got hired at Johns Hopkins. He's one of those intergenerational intimacy scholars that want man-boy sex. That's all it is. But for me to say man-boy sex, that's really harsh. But you know what?
Right.
Who is saying the truth? I have to get off the track just a little bit. Using the word evil and not calling someone evil. But Archbishop Corleone, in his discussion over Nancy Pelosi, called this a grave evil. Abortion is a grave evil. And it's like, yes, finally, people are saying this, and we're listening to people who are courageous. Archbishop Corleone, in the Heart of the Lion, he used the word evil. Nobody uses that word anymore. Sin, grave moral evil, sin. It's refreshing to hear that, because we tend not to hear that. I hear it. I teach at Franciscan. We talk about worries about, you know, falling into sin, the occasion of sin. We talk about it, but most people don't. And on most Catholic campuses, you wouldn't get that. But it's just refreshing to hear the true language, the truth, instead of this dressed up language like abortion as health care. Right. We know abortion's not health care.
Yeah, it's so true.
Nowhere near health care.
That's so true. Let's do this. We'll grab a few calls. If you want to join us, the number here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Love to have you pull up a chair as we're taking a look at the co-opting of language, the twisting of it, the changing of language on so many different levels. And doctor, I give you more credit because, you know, I think so many people, you know, maybe they do see through it. I mean, for me, it's so frustrating. I get so, you know, I get so disturbed by, you know, reproductive justice as a new term to kill a child, right? And healthcare. And even when the White House came out, and this doesn't deal with life or sexual ethics, but, you know, when they said, let's just tell people this is Putin's price hike, when they're paying twice as much as they were at the gas pump, it's like, that's insulting to me. Okay, yeah, the war certainly has contributed somewhat to that. But let's look at the policies that have led up to this. Don't lie to me. Don't insult me.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when they take these type of words and they throw it out. But they're like, even these bills that are out, these parental right bills, how they said, we can't say it's a parental right bill. I mean, how do you change that? We got to say it's a don't say gay bill that DeSantis is passing. The word gay's not even in that.
It's so
powerful. I mean, it's so clever. And you know, a lot of people don't know anything about what was going on with the parental rights bill. And they just thought that this guy's passing a don't say gay bill. It's nuts. Let's grab a few calls. Okay. John's in Chicago. He wants to join the conversation with you. John, hi. You're on with Dr. Hendershot.
Yes, thank you very much, Drew. You're right. And one of the deceptive things is when a person comes out and says, it's my life, it's my body, it sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
But you're not taking your life, you're not destroying your body. That would be suicide. We would step in and try to help you. You're taking the life and killing the body of a completely unique individual with their own DNA from the very moment of conception in a zygote. And what you're doing is you're committing homicide. We have to call these things exactly as they are. Otherwise, people are confused. I remember meeting Dr. Bernard Nathanson when he was in Chicago. And he said, when we came out with our lies about, you know, abortion, there's 10,000 people that, you know, die from back alley abortions. He said, John, we had no idea whether that was true or not. Who would report that anyhow? Because it's illegal. If the church had just stepped up at that time and had the courage to say, no, this is wrong. Women don't think like this if they want to really be in line with God. The other thing, Drew, and for the sociologists, what I found so interesting is Chuck Schumer from the Senate said, from now on, senators, you cannot hide in the closet. You cannot hide in the cloakroom. You've got to come out and take a stand. You're either for abortion or you're not. Let's have a public record on this. And so I think our bishops, along with Catholics, say, you know, we can't hide anymore. We can't be socially polite or acceptable. This is either we're for abortion, which is the killing of an innocent, defenseless child, but we always must help the woman in distress to deliver the baby, or we're for either for abortion or we're not. So I agree with the sociologist. These individuals are not committing suicide. This is homicide, and it is deadly serious. And we can't run from this. Our souls are at stake.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for the call. Let me let Dr. Hendershot respond. Great call.
Really good point. Absolutely. And that's pretty much what Archbishop Corleone was saying. We can't run from this. And he's not running from it. And a lot of our courageous bishops aren't running from this. And it's good. I think it's good that Schumer is making them, you know, do this. I mean, people like
me,
Casey,
too,
who got elected as a pro-life senator. I mean, his father was such a wonderful pro-life person. And then this younger son votes 100% with the pro-abortion lobby. Whenever he can, he does that. So I'm thrilled that we're calling it evil, just like he said. And the funny thing is, a homicide, if you kill a pregnant woman, you're charged with two murders.
That's true.
Because we do know that those are murders. So the only one who's allowed to kill a fetus, an unborn child, is the woman. But if somebody else kills her and she doesn't want that baby killed, then he's charged with murder. That's crazy. You know, that just shows that we know that's a child. We know, as he said, that's a human being. But it's hard to have this conversation because the sides are so clearly drawn, and the media enables with their cover up with the language. The media is very good with language. You know, writers are very good with language.
Yeah, I think they clearly understand what they're doing. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
John, thank you. It was a great call. Great point. Well, appreciate it. We'll go to Regina next. She's listening in California. Hi, Regina. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, and thank you so much for all you do. God bless you. And I've become a Divine Mercy person that I never knew about before.
Oh,
COVID did this for me. Thank you. Anyhow, my comment is simple. I just wish we would, especially the Catholic people and the people that are supposedly pro-life, use the term murder instead of abortion. Because what your guest just recently said, that's what it is. It's murder. Murdering somebody.
Yeah, I think, Regina, thank you. I think to your point, Doctor, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, just as the left, the culture of death, can take the language over, we need to take it back. And we should be calling these things for what they are. And I find a lot of people sometimes using the lexicon of the left, you know, and of the culture of death, when they engage in this type of dialogue. We can't talk about that person being pro-choice. When I talk about them, I say they're pro-death. I mean, you've got to highlight the reality of what this is all about. Your thoughts for Regina?
Well, it's a great point, but a lot of the people who are talking about abortion don't blame the woman. They say, well, we have to understand the woman. She's under duress. No, actually, no. I don't understand killing an unborn child. But they use words like termination of life without meaning when they're talking about the abortion of a child who has been diagnosed with having spina bifida or some other massive birth defect. So that's a tenderness kind of thing, what Flannery O'Connor was looking at. That's a Nazi term, termination of life without meaning. The Nazis use that term. But you hear a lot of doctors using that term, and nurses and pro-abortion people, termination of life without meaning. This is the kinder, gentler thing to do. When many of us know people who had unborn children who are diagnosed with profound birth defects who still carried that to term, and then it turned out the child did not have those defects that they were encouraged to terminate for. I'm sure we all know that. But quality of life, that's another one. You know, the assisted suicide people, they're always talking about quality of life, better, you know, really saying that better off dead. But they would never say that. They would talk about pointless suffering. Yeah. That's all. That whole tenderness leads to the gas chamber because Nazis use that kind of language.
It's funny you mentioned the you know, euthanasia, because the one time I think that the culture of death got it wrong was when they created a society called the Hemlock Society, and that was the worst moniker for what you're all about. You know, they ended up changing their name, I think, to Death with Dignity or something. And then I think they even changed it after that.
Compassionate choices now. After the guy who started it killed, two of his wives ended up dead by assisted suicide. And some say he killed them, but I would never say that. Especially
who was that? Was that Kevorkian?
Was
that Jack Kevorkian? Is that the guy?
No. That's Humphreys.
Humphrey,
the man who started the Hemlock Society. He lost two wives to assisted suicide.
Wow. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. All right, let's grab another quick call. Jim's in Sunnyvale, California. Jim, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Drew. I just was listening to your show here, and the comment about language and its misuse, it reminds me of the some of those terms and goals of the old Handbook of Radicals that Saul Alinsky put out, you know, one of the axioms was control the argument. Control the language and control the argument. And you know, now we've got all these things, like you say, you know, intergenerational intimacy, you know, and they used to call folks that perpetrated those things chicken hawks. And so it's like this mentoring that's being established into creating, the homosexual lifestyles and the acceptance of those things, rather than just really being able to call it like it is. And so it seems to me it's so much of this really Marxist theory that's entered into the debate these days.
That's a good point. Yeah, it is Marxist theory because the Marxists think that we can control our lives. They don't believe in God, so they kind of think we're all mini gods and we can all control our lives and our deaths and the time of our death. And it is appealing to some places. I mean, I remember Derek Humphrey, the founder of the Hemlock Society, used to go to senior communities like the Leisure World in Orange County, Florida. And that appeals to some people because he's selling suicide. But, you know, we've been sold lots of things. There's a book called After the Ball. It's out of print now. And it was how to convince people that gay men are just like us. And there's no difference and they're good people. And it was a whole marketing campaign. It was written by two PR people, public relations experts,
right,
how they would market it. And it's all about the language, using gay, things like that. It's called After the Ball. It's still available. It's out of print, but it's. I have three copies because I'm afraid it will be unavailable.
Well, Doctor, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll grab a few more telephone calls as well. And I want to thank Jim for his call because he was really on point. You know, Hillary Clinton, who helped promote a lot of this language, she was a big follower of Saul Alinsky. And one of her papers was There's Only One Fight, and it's an analysis of the Alinsky model. A lot of what you see in modern government today comes from Rules for Radicals, the book that Alinsky put forward. Dangerous stuff. Stay with me. We're back with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yeah, what a great bumper, huh? What a classic. It's one of the top 10. I think my favorite, rock songs there, the Hotel California. Makes me think of where you are today. You buy into this culture lie, right? You swallow the poison that they are giving you. You're going to check into a hotel where you can't check out. It may not be called Hotel California, you know? It'll be hell. And that's where this type of delusion leads, right? When we think it's okay to kill a child in the womb or euthanize somebody because they have cognitive problems or because they're too poor to live with dignity, like Canada is trying to advance, or to euthanize a child who's 2 years old. Why? I mean, that it doesn't get any more macabre, any more evil, any darker than that. And the reality of all of this is that we're living in a time in a world of fantasy. People have taken words and they have co-opted. And we're looking at that today. I'm taking a look at the power of language and how the culture of death, how the left, how those who want to advance something that is really the antithetical to God and life and what is good, they take things that sound good and just and right, and they use them for very dark and nefarious purposes. I'm joined by Dr. Ann Hendershot today. I only have her for a few moments. And doctor, we'll grab another call or two from you on this as well. It is pretty bizarre. How do we, before we take another call, just a thought from you on how do we win this battle? Do we take back the language ourselves? Do we redefine language?
Yes.
And what's the best way to win the war?
We reclaim the language, just like Archbishop Corleone reclaimed the word evil. We tend not to use that word. Now, he didn't call Speaker Pelosi evil. He would never do that. But he would say she's supporting a grave evil. Abortion is a grave evil. People don't tend to say that anymore. And I don't want to, say that everybody in that woke brigade are bad people. They're well-meaning. The foot soldiers are. The leaders are not. The ones who are the devious ones, the Hillary Clintons of the world. They're very devious. But I think the rest of the people who adopt this, even those on the left, they're good people. They're well-meaning. They're self-righteous thought police. But they think they're doing something good. I mean, those people that put the signs in their yard, you know, this is a place of love for Black Lives Matter, the whole thing. Those are mostly really good people. They're just misguided, and they believe this language. Yeah. It's been a very successful campaign, this campaign for assisted suicide, campaign for abortion. Yeah. Half the country has bought the campaign, right?
It certainly
and cancel
has.
Culture, yeah, cancel culture is really part of this. So that anybody who isn't on board with this, you know, helping women and ending the life that has no meaning anymore because they believe it doesn't have meaning, they're convinced of that by the media and by the evil doers, the people who do evil, who have convinced them of that. I mean, we have to pray for them that they wake up. And so they need to be told. We have to get in their face once
Amen.
In a while.
Sometimes
people say I'm uncharitable in my writing. I try to be charitable, but sometimes you have to. The truth is harsh.
Amen.
You have to say it's harsh.
Say it the way it is. You know, that's the problem. We're so afraid of being intolerant or coming off or being perceived in a way that we're going to be uncompassionate or hurt somebody. The truth is never intolerant. You know, and the truth is it never lacks compassion. I'm sorry. It never does.
It doesn't, but it can sound harsh in a society that seems to sanitize everything.
That's so true.
No.
So true. Let's go to the phones. Vince has been waiting. He's in Plymouth, Wisconsin.
Okay.
He wants to join the conversation. Vince, hi.
Great.
You're on with Dr. Hendershot.
Just two comments. I've been an avid reader my whole life, and I think that's been going on, this language change, since about 1900.
Really?
We used to call, now we have gays, before that we had homosexuals.
Right.
You never hear the word sodomy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear the word fornication anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
We go to war and we call it police action. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, I tell you, the left and the evil people are just in a tizzy over the Supreme Court. I get junk mail like everybody else. I got a piece of junk mail from a pro-abortion group this morning, emergency fundraiser.
Yeah.
It's insane. Please send money immediately.
Wow. Yeah, no, this is, Vince, thanks for calling. It is a tremendous opportunity for the left to try to raise money. They've raised millions already on the fact that, you know, the Dobbs decision based on that first draft, and I don't think it'll probably release to the very end of the term. We already see the unrest in the streets. I mean, Roe's going to be overturned. I believe that. This is an opportunity then for to try to get people to the polls as well as to generate revenue. Doctor, I only have a few moments left. I want to give you a final thoughts. You heard him. He brought up some other great points about how language
great
is constantly evolving.
Goodness.
You
Brilliant.
Write about this. You teach about it. So
I've forgotten about going back to this sodomite. We tend not to talk about what happens in a gay relationship. Nobody wants to talk about that. But there was a time when people did. And it was clear that it was wrong. You know, we tend not to do that. We sanitize everything because it seems like the more tender thing. But tenderness does lead to death. It leads to the gas chamber, as the Nazis have shown us.
Yep.
Flannery Connor's brilliant, so smart. And we need to take that warning that sometimes you can't be nice when you're talking about killing a child in the womb. Because that's what they're doing. Mother Teresa didn't sanitize anything, did she?
Not at
all. I can kill the child in the womb, I can kill you, and you can kill me. Good for her. You know, could you imagine me saying that?
No, I got you. Hey, doctor, I got to leave it right there. I'm so grateful for your time. Keep your writing. Keep writing boldly and clearly. Don't worry about dialing back.
I have an article today in Catholic World Report called The Emergence of the New Malthusians. It's about what's the rhetoric that they're using because of Dobbs. They're warning that there's going to be crime in the streets if we don't abort more children.
Yep. It's so true.
So I published today.
All part of the tactic. Hey, doctor, I'll look for that. Maggie, maybe you can put it up on our Twitter. If you follow us on Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show, we'll link over to it for you. So. If you're driving, you don't have a pen and paper, we'll do that. We'd be glad to. I always appreciate your writing. And more importantly, yes, I appreciate our time together.
Thanks so much, Drew. Good to talk with you.
Likewise. It's Dr. Ann Hendershot. I'm going to take a short pause. When I come back, I have something I want to give to you personally, okay? I have something that will help change, I think, the culture. It'll help you if you're in this world where there's all this confusion. Maybe loved ones are confused, you know, and you're thinking, what can I do? My words don't work. I can't, you know, I don't know what to do. I've got a solution for it. I have something that's going to be, it's free and it's yours. We'll send it to you, okay? Stay with me. When I come back, I'll fill you in.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Grab a pen and paper. I want to give you something right now, all right? This is important. I wish I had a little more time to camp out on it. Maybe I'll talk more to you about it. There's a simple prayer. You know, if you've got somebody who is, you know, blinded by the culture, just so confused over what's going on, there's a prayer that Mother Teresa prayed all the time. It's known as the Memorare, and we've been praying it on the air here, and I just find it amazing. Ever since we started praying this prayer, our goal was to see the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Relevant Radio has done this, and we're now hundreds of millions of memoraries in. We have the entire country praying, and prayer changes things, right? Prayer changes things. We've seen it with the rosary, how it has, you know, defeated atheistic communism. We've seen it with the chaplet. I think the Memorare is such a simple prayer. I said a little bit earlier in my broadcast, you know, oh, it's hard to find time to pray. I'm so busy. I've got this. I got that, you know, and the day gets by. The Memorare is such a short little prayer. There's a brand new book out, and it's free, all right? I want you to get the book today, and I want you to learn about this prayer and to pray it. You can say the Memorare in a heartbeat. I'll pray it maybe at the end of the program. We'll pray for our country. You can give this book to whoever you want. Let them read it. If you need to sell your home, if you are in a situation where you're praying for the conversion of your loved ones, if you're ever facing an emergency, you pray the Memorare, okay? You pray this prayer 9 times. And the way to get it, just go to relevantradio.com. I just went to our website. You'll find it right on the front page, okay? Relevantradio.com. You can sign up, and it will be sent to you for absolutely free. I would really recommend that you go and you tell your friends and your family to get on board with this as well, because we have very limited quantities of the book left. I talked about it on Friday, and I'll tell you what, they flew. They were a lot of people responded. Let me just say that. And I know that this is, I think we're coming to like the last week or two where you're going to be able to get this. So this is a limited edition. The artwork on this book is excellent. Relevantradio.com. Use the mobile app. Ask about it. And this book is yours. If you already ordered it, it'll be coming to you. But please, do not wait. You can go to relevantradio.com/moment or just go to the front page and you'll find it. Limited numbers, as I said, limited numbers, and great summer reading, great for somebody else. I'll tell you a true story or two about the Memorare and why you should pray it in times of emergency. And I'd love to hear your story. If you have discovered the Memorare, if you prayed this prayer and you've got an answer to prayer, share your story with me. Mother Teresa of Calcutta would pray this prayer all the time. It was her go-to prayer. She found it incredibly powerful. She came up with something she called the Express Novena, where she prayed 9 times in a row, and then she'd add a 10th just because she knew God was going to answer her prayer in thanksgiving for that prayer being answered. And there was a friend of hers who was facing a real situation at home, and told her about the Express Novena, and the friend prayed it. And after praying it, she received her miracle. And these stories like this happen all the time. When the Father Andrew Apostoli, may God rest his soul, he was a great Franciscan friar of the Renewal, wonderful priest. He would do retreats for the Missionaries Charity. And when he first met Mother Teresa, she told him that whenever she needed a special favor, whenever she needed God to answer her prayer quickly. Maybe right now you're behind in that credit card bill. You don't know how you're going to pay it. It's got to be paid tomorrow. You know, maybe your kid needs to get accepted to that school, or you're hoping for that job interview, or you just go to the doctors and you're worried about your test results. You're begging God for good results. Then what you need to do is pray this memorare, this express novena. Mother Teresa told Father Apostoli, who I knew and who shared this story with me as well, he said that in 1983, the superior of their house, they were in East Berlin, Mother Teresa had homes all over. The superior of the house in Berlin got very sick, and Mother had to appoint a replacement who could handle the communists. You remember, the Iron Curtain did not fall for another 7 years or so, 6 years. So this is communist Germany. They're in East Germany, East Berlin. And Mother Teresa made the decision that the sister, you know, needed we needed to get another sister in there because this woman was really ill. So the problem was the sister needed a visa to get into East Berlin. So they thought, how are they going to do that, right? How are we going to get a visa from East Berlin this fast? Mother Teresa got all of her nuns together. They started praying the memorare. They prayed this express novena. They prayed the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. They were on the eighth novena, the eighth memorare, when the phone rings. It was a communist official who stated, "I'm sorry, Mother. It's going to be 6 months until your new superior would receive her visa." Mother looked at all of her fellow sisters there. They went back to prayer. After the ninth memorare, Mother Teresa started the novena again. On the eighth memorare of the second time around, the telephone rang again. It was the same communist official who stated that they would have to wait, you know, at least 6 months. He says, "You know what? You can have the visa immediately." That's the power of this prayer. With prayer, all things are possible. God can do anything, even when situations seem impossible. With prayer, we can find ways out of situations that have no way out. Now, you know, I know we're not Mother Teresa trying to get a superior into a communist country, but Relevant Radio wants to give you this weapon and this tool. The history of this devotion goes way back. There are many saints who have embraced it. John Paul II, St. Bernard, so many others. St. Francis, the gentleman saint, St. Francis de Sales, so many others. And Father Rocky sat down. He wrote this book called The Memorary Moment, the 32nd prayer that will change your life and the world. The Memorary Moment, a 32nd prayer will change your life and your world. Go to Relevant Radio right now. Go to relevantradio.com. Check the cover of this book out. Spectacular, right? This is such a simple read. It's wonderful this summer, just a page through it. It's an easy page turner. You can do it a chapter at a time. Filled with great stories, great information. But it will inspire you to pray this prayer and then start praying for that loved one that's in need of conversion. Start praying for that spouse that, you know, doesn't have the same level of love for God that you do. Let's pray for that drug-addicted son or daughter. You know, let's pray for that broken relationship. You know, let's pray the memorare for that passport you need or those missing keys that have gone missing. Let's turn to God through this beautiful prayer. Why? Why Our Lady? Why not go right to Christ, right? You know, at the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady, she had her free will. She could have said, "No, not interested in getting pregnant. You know, no thanks," right? She totally said, "Lord, whatever your will is, be it done unto me according to your will." Her yes allowed her to participate in salvation history, right? Christ came into the world. He conquered death and sin. He rose from the dead. When he was hanging on that cross, he turned to her in agony, right? Unable to, he's been beaten and tortured. The slightest breath, the slightest movement just sends shards of pain racing through the body, exploding in the brain. And he uses his words, and they were to premium. And he says to her, he says to John, "John, this is your mother." And to the mother, "This is your son," right? Basically, from the cross, we became the spiritual children of Our Lady. And ever since that time, from that moment forward, she has, across the centuries, interceded in powerful ways to bring about conversion and answered prayers and healing. Today, she's working in an unprecedented way. That's why when we turn to her through this beautiful prayer, the memorare, miracles take place. Miracles take place. Conversions abound. No question in my mind. I remember the story of Alphonse Ratisbonne. You talk about conversion. a friend had given this guy who was an absolute atheist, a brilliant guy, right? But you know, he was a Jewish banker and a lawyer, very wealthy, and told the person, wear the miraculous medal and pray what? The memorare, pray the memorare. He took the medal and he reluctantly was going to pray this prayer. He stopped by, he was visiting a church to arrange a funeral for a friend, and he had a vision of the Blessed Mother, and she appeared on the medal that he saw and was instantly converted, instantly converted. You know, he'd go on to be such a great evangelist of both the memorare and the miraculous medal. The most hardened soul, you know, the most wayward sinner, the most drug-addicted person, the most angry spouse, right? Conversion can take place. You need a prompt answer to prayer. Check out the memorare moment. I only have a moment or two left. If you want to share your story, I would love to hear from you, okay? I'd love to have you share your story. Try to make it kind of concise if you could. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Go to relevantradio.com. Go there now. Do it on your mobile phone or just you know, when you or your computer, your tablet. Get the book. It's free. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because I got word after we had Father Rocky on last week that the books were running low, that we had limited quantities. And I know sometimes you might not be able to join me for the chapel. You might be tuning in after work. So I wanted to make sure you were aware of this so you'd have it. You know, Mother Teresa, who was the great proponent of this prayer more than anybody else that I know. I mean, many of the saints prayed this. I've had answered prayers to it. Mother Teresa did the same thing with the miraculous medal. I mean, she had incredible love for the miraculous medal. We would see the fruit of that as well. But, you know, the prayer itself, and I do want to talk to you about it. There have been universities, for example, that have prayed this. And there's a great story of the memorare. Who was it? I'm trying to remember the university's name here. I think it was, give me 1 second. I feel like Father Simon now searching for the name. It'll come to me. You know what it was? Benedictine College. That's right, in Kansas. The president there, I remember hearing this story before. This president took the helm in I think it was 2006, 2005, somewhere around the summer it appeared as enrollment was decreasing. And he heard the story of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa had, you know, she needed a building one day, and she promised God she'd pray 85,000 memorares. I don't know whether she needed $85,000 or what it was. And she began to pray the memorare. She got the money for the building. And Mother Teresa got buildings all over the place, land all over the place, and it was always the memorares in which she did it. So he, with his team of 10, said, we're going to pray these memorares. So they decided to divide them up, 1,200 memorares apiece they were going to pray. Then they got 25 people praying, and they surpassed their dreams. They got 1,232 students, 200 more, right? All of a sudden, the enrollment began to go up. You know, kids began to look into the school. Before they knew it, they had record enrollment there. The memorare coming through in a powerful way. The president would call this his memorare army. You know, he wanted to build a grotto next to this new building, right? So he says, we'll pray 1,000 memorares apiece, hoping to get 50 people. They wound up with 375 people praying it. They promised to pray 1,000 memorares for success in building the grotto. Unbelievable. Joining the army were people like Coach Lou Holtz and Speaker Immaculée Ilibagiza, the genocide survivor in Rwanda. Ground was broken in 2008, the 150th anniversary of the Marian Apparitions of Lourdes, where Our Lady came under that powerful title. And the school offered a public consecration on September 8th, you know, to Mary, her birthday. Lots of great stories. Let me see. Do I have time for a call? Maribel in Texas, can you make it quickly? Hi, Maribel. You with us?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone. I was just calling because I've done that prayer so many times, especially for my kids. You know how there's always one of the kids that is a little bit more rebellious than others. Mm-hmm. And one day we were on a trip back home. Everybody was tired. It was super late, but she's a teenager and she was already talking about wanting to go out with a friend, and I did not want to start an argument with her.
Right.
So I just started praying. I just started praying and praying. And she was in my older sibling, and my husband and my children were there, and we all just kind of turned around when she started. It was like a switch.
Right.
Her attitude just changed. She started laughing, making jokes, and she's like, you know what? I don't want to go out. And I'm like, thank you, Mary.
I love it, Maribel. I got to hold you there because I'm out of time. But I love that story, right? From a belligerent, perhaps determined child, you prayed that prayer, and there was a radical change of attitude. Prayer works. If you are praying for something and you need a prompt answer, why not take advantage of this opportunity while you have the opportunity, okay? It's relevantradio.com. On the front page, you'll see the book. They're limited. I'm just putting it on your radar. They're free. They'll be shipped to you. No strings attached. Limited time, quantity available. That's it, okay? Relevantradio.com. You'll probably find it on your mobile app as well if you have that. But check it out. You can get it when I sign off. Take advantage of the offer while you can. I'm out of time for the day. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless.